If you would, this morning, please get a Bible. I don't have this on PowerPoint. And turn to John, the 20th chapter. John 20. And we're going to read a few verses here to get our thoughts for the morning. Starting in verse 19. John 20, verse 19. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be to you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then they were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when the disciples came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be to you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. So here we have the account of Jesus as he came forth from the grave. And he stood in the midst of his disciples and said, Peace be to you. Thomas, one of the disciples, he wasn't there. So, we have called our lesson for the day, he missed the assembly. And that's what we've read, John 20 and 19 through 31. Luke has a recording of about the same thing, Luke 24 and verse 33 through 49. So we wanted to talk for a little bit about the man that missed the assembly. Thomas wasn't there. Several years ago, I heard a funny story, and in teacher training, we've talked about funny stories, so here's your funny story for today. Terry Newell was telling about a man that went fishing on Sunday afternoon. And as he was fishing, he said, Oh, it's about time for church. And he threw his line out, and he caught a fish. It was the biggest one for the day. So he said, well, I'll do one more. And he threw it out. And it was a bigger fish. And you know what happened? The fish kept getting bigger. Oops, I missed church. But look at all these fish I caught. And lo and behold, here comes a bunch of cars to the pond where he was fishing. It was the congregation. They came out to baptize someone. How embarrassing is that? He was fishing, and here comes the congregation. Now, when we think about Thomas, it don't say whether he was fishing. He might have had the flu. He might have had company. I don't know what he had, but he wasn't there. He missed it. So let's think about this for a little bit and some things that Thomas missed. Number one, he missed seeing the Lord because he didn't even believe the Lord was back. Jesus was dead. He had been in the tomb. He had been in the grave. And here everybody said, we saw Jesus. He didn't believe it. He missed hearing the Lord because Jesus said, peace be unto you. I don't believe it. I got to touch his hands and put my hand in his side. He missed being with his brethren. Not too long ago, I saw an army show. I don't remember what it was. But these guys was fighting, and they would do anything for each other. And he says, "These are my brothers." Jesus was here. Thomas missed it. He didn't get to be with the brethren. He did not receive strength because Jesus breathed on them the Holy Ghost. And he told them they can go remove sins. They could bring people to life. Thomas missed this. He didn't get it. He wasn't there. He was absent. Then he went 8 days without knowing the Great Commission to go out and teach others. For 8 days, he had heard that Jesus was alive, but he didn't know it. So that's what Thomas missed. There may be other things that we didn't think about, but he didn't miss that. One more thing. In Luke 24 and 45, "Then opened he their understandings that they might understand the Scriptures." This is in Luke's recording. He opened their minds so that they could understand. Don't show your hand, but how many of you here would like to have that? We would like to have that understanding. Did Thomas get it later? I hope. But he wasn't there, so he didn't get it. So let's think about this a little bit. And as we go on, I know some of you are thinking, well, I'm after you because you've missed church. If you got a good excuse, that's fine. We had a friend, Brandon, that went to West Texas. He became a doctor. And I guarantee it, when he missed a class, his mother had a gallbladder out. And I asked him once, and his name was Doyle. I said, "Doyle, how many gallbladders does your mother have?" Because he had an excuse. He wanted an excused absence. Now, I know there's some times that we cannot all be at church. We have things to do. We have places to go. If you're sick, I don't want your bug. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just missing it. Okay, let's look about this. Here's another quote we have about Thomas, and this is a very familiar verse. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." And now verse 5. "Thomas said unto the Lord, We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Here's Thomas still kind of lagging behind. You ever heard the phrase, doubting Thomas? Well, he doubted that the Lord had risen. He doubted about heaven. So here's maybe where we get the idea of doubting Thomas. All right, I'm saying let's be at the assembly. In Acts 20 and verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain man named Eutychus, being fallen to a deep sleep, as Paul was long preaching, and sank down into sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell upon him and embraced him and said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed." So we have an example of the assembly where there was preaching. This man, Eutychus, fell asleep, fell out of the third floor and killed himself. Paul brought him back to life because he had been breathed on the Holy Ghost. So we have an example of having an assembly and preaching. And we have a lot of other examples of what to do during the assembly. In Acts 20 and verse 28, it tells us, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples unto them. So when we know that we have to take in food, a lot of us like three meals a day, but if we don't feed the flock, and that's what the assembly for, you get edification, you get teaching. And in Acts 5 and 42, and daily in the temple in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So in the early Christians, after they had the 3,000 obeyed the gospel, they went about from house to house and in the temple, in the assembly, teaching and preaching. They done this daily. We might call it a gospel meeting. I've heard the older people talk about 2-week-long gospel meetings. And every once in a while we'll have a 1-week-long. But here they went every day. Now, not too long ago, I think his brother Richard mentioned about going house to house. This is great. We need to do this. We're probably falling short going house to house and teaching and seeing people. We saw some people this week and talked to them later. They appreciated us coming and visiting with them. So this is an area that we can improve on. In 1 Peter 5 and 2, it says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. This is the instructions given to leadership. Feed the flock. Now, when I grew up and my mama fixed a meal and we filled her plate, we cleaned it up. If you take a bunch, you eat it all. That's the way we grew up. Now, when we have assembly here, we need you to come and eat. What would happen, I think Jan Ann can probably tell you, if Mama called for supper and I didn't come, she wouldn't fix me nothing later. You come and get it now, or I'm going to throw it out. It's probably what she'd say. So that's why we need to be at the assembly, to get fed. Another reason to be at the assembly is because Jesus is here. And Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I don't see him, but I believe him. I believe he's here. I don't know which area he is. He's probably in everywhere, all among us. He's here. And I think we forget that. Zane, if Kevin Durant was going to be at church today, wouldn't you want to see him? Sure you would. He's a basketball fan. We went to his restaurant in Oklahoma City, and we saw Kevin Durant's shoes. I think I could ski on them. I mean, they're huge. Think about Jesus. He's here. And if you're not at the assembly, you missed that. You missed that. Be at the assembly to be filled. We talk about taking on nourishment. And Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Have you went all day without eating? I mean, you kind of get faint. You get sick at your stomach. I mean, I'm in trouble. I need something. Do we do that about the Lord's Word? We may be skinny in the Lord's sight. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, when we think about taking in spiritual food, we might ought to think about like some people do in a restaurant. You ever drive up to a little cafe and you wonder if it's open? There are no cars there. Do you want to go in there and eat? I probably don't. But if you drive up to one and, I mean, there's cars everywhere and you say, oh, this got to be good. A lot of people think it's good here. Sometimes we have to wait. You sign up to get a table. You have to wait. What do people think when they drive up to the church house and there's just a few here? Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. But the more vehicles we got, I think that's more encouragement that we're doing some things right here. All right, next thing is about your influence. In Matthew 18:3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such a little one in my name receiveth me. And whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. It is encouraging in between services to see these little people up here leading songs. Sometimes they're preaching. They're watching what goes on. We each have a duty to the younger, to give them an example. How many people that say, well, we're not going to make these certain attendances, it rubs off on the children. Well, mom and dad didn't do it. It wasn't important to them. It is important to be here. First Corinthians 5:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Whatever you're around is going to rub off on you. If you're around good things, it rubs off on you. If you're around bad things, it rubs off on you. It does. It was always interesting when Sean would go off with Merle for a little while, because I knew what was going to happen when he came back. He'd go, yee! Or he'd say some of Merle's sayings because it rubbed off on him. We need to be around the best people we can be, and it rubs off on us. It really does. If we're at the assembly, we should come away stronger. We should be edified. We should be built up. We should be pepped up. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If we're doing what God wants us to, he's going to bless us. If we're out at the pond fishing when we should be at church, we may get a rude awakening. But if we're doing what he tells us to do, we're going to be blessed. He's going to think that's a good thing, and he'll bless us. Luke 22:61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter, remembering the word of the Lord, how that he had said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Think about old Peter. Whenever they came to arrest Jesus, what did Peter do? Peter drew his sword and cut off the high priest's ear. Then here it is a little while later, and he said, I don't even know the man. Well, as I think about it, whenever they came to arrest Peter, he was with a lot of Christians. He was strong. He would have fought to the death right then. But here was Jesus being tried. There wasn't anybody else around, And they said, okay, you're one of them. You're a Christian. You've been with him. No, no, no. And he finally had to curse and say, I don't know the guy. He proved that he didn't know Jesus. What was he? He was by himself. We're going to gain strength when we're with other Christians. If you're out at the pond fishing by yourself, you're not gaining strength. You may have a fish fry, but you're not gaining strength. So when you're not in the assembly, you're getting weaker, in my opinion. Okay. Be at the assembly so you can teach others. In Matthew 28:19, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. What are Christians supposed to do to go out and tell others? Go out and tell others about Jesus. Go convert other peoples to Christ. That's what Christians are supposed to do. And if you don't know how, then you're going to come up short. That is part of the fruit that a Christian will give. Let's read this verse in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke into love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be here to provoke others. Now, last time we poke each other a little bit, and I enjoy that, but we need to be here. You know, I talked a little bit about basketball and the Thunder. If some of the team members this last year, they got hurt. They wasn't on the team. They was injured. They didn't make the playoffs, did they? So when we don't have some of our members don't show up, our team is weakened. I've told some, I said, we're having a family reunion. And this is a true story. I was talking to one of my cousins. They decided they're going to have a family reunion, and it's going to be a certain date, certain time, and they invited people. Zero responses. So they called it off. They didn't have a family reunion. So that's another reason we need to be here, is to provoke into love and good works. This is our last verse, Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. This is the duty of a Christian. Take up your cross and go where God wants you to be. He wants you to be in the assembly. He wants you to be edified. He wants you to help others. He wants us to bring others to Christ. So when you miss the assembly, you've missed out on a lot of things. Through the years, there have been several gospel sermons that I've heard that just I'll never forget. And if I hadn't have been there, I wouldn't have got it. So anytime we miss the assembly, you know, unless you're ill or gone or whatever, then that's hurting the whole congregation, and it's hurting you because you may miss. Now, I know there's time when you're traveling, going to other places. And that's not what I'm talking about. If you're sick, that ain't what I'm talking about at all. But when you're out there catching fish, that's what I'm talking about. So as we bring our remarks to a close, I want you to think about this, how important it is that we are a team player, that we're all here, that we go out and spread the word, that we work together, that we exhort one another, that we don't end up looking skinny in God's sight. I don't like to miss meals, but I don't like to miss the food that we have in the Word of God either.